From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's decision to retire from active service sets up what's expected to be an intensely contentious process to replace him. It also means we could see Justice Kennedy more often in Sacramento, maybe even teaching more classes at McGeorge Law School, where he has taught and been connected for nearly three decades. On the phone is Professor Leslie Jacobs from McGeorge. She is director of the school's Capital Center for Public Law and Policy. Professor Jacobs, thanks for joining us. Actually, thanks for interrupting your summer break to join us.
No problem at all. Happy to be with you.
I have asked you before about Justice Kennedy's retirement plans. You didn't want to speculate, but did you know or guess that this was coming now?
I didn't know it was coming now. I'm not surprised that it came now. He's 81 years old. He's been on the court for most of my adult life. So, it's not a big surprise.
What else about the timing for his retirement? There's a lot of speculation about him wanting to spend time with his family, but also his sense of where the politics and the court are right now.
Well, again, I have no inside information. Obviously, he knows what's going on and made a decision with what you talked about in mind, certainly his personal situation. Also, the situation in Washington, this is a time, probably the one in the next 3 years maybe, that will be the most orderly transition. I know you said it's going to be contentious, but we can expect to see this happen in a couple of months, and that might have been something he was thinking about. I think he also thinks that I would imagine that he thinks that he's simply doing his job in the constitutional structure, which is when he gets to be 81, he says, okay, time for the rest of the process is to take over and do what you will.
He wrote, "My dear Mr. President, for a member of the legal profession, it is the highest honor to serve on this court. Please permit me by this letter to express my profound gratitude for having had the privilege to seek in each case how best to know, to interpret, and defend the Constitution and the laws that must always conform to its mandates and promises." How did you see him, Professor Jacobs, in terms of being that middle person on the court? Did you see him as a flipper, as he was sometimes called, or did you see him evaluating and judging or ruling by a straighter path?
Well, you're talking to somebody who served as a law clerk to swing justice Lewis F. Powell Jr., and so I have a fond place in my heart for what we call swing justices. That is, if you're the person in the middle, you're certainly looking very, very carefully at the facts of each case and circumstances, and that might cause you to go one way or another, and you're not as maybe straight ideologically in one side or the other, but I certainly don't see that as being a problem at all. I think it adds life to the Constitution and the way it's interpreted. So I saw Justice Kennedy doing that.
He wasn't fond of that phrase, swing justice. I think he said he preferred to be called the deciding vote.
Exactly right. Right. Well, swing justice makes it sound a little flippant or erratic.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's necessarily the way to characterize it. Certainly when you look at particular types of issues, you can see a fairly straight line.
Where he was on same-sex marriage and where he was on Roe v. Wade, which of those two arenas of decision-making do you think have been the most powerful for this country?
The most powerful? Well, obviously, there's a big influence with both of them, so it's hard to choose. Gay marriage is, I suppose, the biggest change. And he was the one who came onto the court and began writing those opinions, and he was always assigned the majority opinion in that area of interpreting the Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause and gay rights. So his influence there is profound. His influence, certainly with respect to Roe versus Wade, is important as well. He was the one who joined with Justice O'Connor and Justice Souter, three Republican appointees, to nevertheless uphold a decision that had been issued before he was on the court. So both important, but if I had to choose a legacy, I guess I would say it would be the gay rights cases.
Hmm. So you said you clerked for Justice Powell, and then Justice Kennedy replaced Justice Powell. Let's talk about what might be next. Does this shift in what's coming make Chief Justice John Roberts now the central justice on the court?
Well, we have to see who replaces Justice Kennedy, but presuming that it is someone off of that list of 25 that the president has published, then yes, I think we'd be seeing the Chief Justice moving into that middle position, probably, right. Again, on the closest cases. And so, yes, it makes the Chief Justice important. And, of course, he's already important in the sense that he gets to assign the opinions of the cases, which, again, he's only got one vote, but he can influence how they're written by his ability to vote one way or the other and then also assign the opinions.
Did you happen to see, Professor, that the president said last night that he wants a justice who will serve for 40, 45 years?
Well, I didn't see that, but it's not a surprise to me. I would predict a justice who's being chosen. I predict the justice will be late 40s, early 50s. That would make sense to me.
I was going to say that narrows the list of 25 to someone who is of a certain age range, not to mention any other factors that will be considered. So,
well, there'll certainly be a number of factors will go into this, and I have every reason to believe that people are working extraordinarily hard on it right now, trying to figure out what the demographics are and what the ideologies are and what the decisions have been, and also where the votes are, because we do have to remember that although there are 51 Republican senators, he's going to need to get almost all of them to get this through.
Yeah, if only a few Republicans decide to go with the Democrats, then it's not a given that the Republican vote is there. So this could be, what do you expect, into the fall before we have a final decision?
Oh, I think we're going to hear names really soon.
Oh, sure.
But the thing is, before we hear names, just to be clear, there's a lot of conversations going on. And so if these people are doing their homework, they aren't going to come up with a situation where they have Republican senator defectors, because they will have figured out who they need to choose to be able to get it through the Senate. So if that homework is done, then I think we could see it happen fairly quickly, although they plan to take a summer recess, I think, so maybe we'd be at the end of August.
And just to circle back around to the Sacramento connection, I suggested that maybe we'd see Justice Kennedy more in the area, maybe more connected to McGeorge. What about that real local, not only connection to him, but desire to hear and see more about his experience and who he is?
Well, certainly. He comes from the Sacramento community. He was just back in town probably about a month ago, receiving a big lifetime award from the Sacramento Bar Association, and he spoke so fondly about all the practice here and all the people he know here. So there's no question that we would like to see him back in town. He's going to be in Salzburg teaching for us again for McGeorge. But I'll bet there are lots of people who want to see Justice Kennedy in the next couple years. So we'll see. I think he'll be a busy guy going a bunch of places.
So this is just a very beginning conversation then, Professor Jacobs. I look forward to more as this time goes on and you're back in town. And thanks so much, as I said again, for checking in with us today from Michigan.
Happy to be there.
That is Professor Leslie Jacobs from McGeorge School of Law. She's the director of the school's Capital Center for Public Law and Policy. I do want to say that we've posted a few links that you might be interested in. Ben Adler interviewed Justice Kennedy in 2013. Also, Nina Totenberg has a terrific piece, a reflection on the professional career of Anthony Kennedy. It's been airing on NPR. If you missed it, we'll post a link to that as well. You can find those at capradio.org/insight.